Test, test, test. Oh, there we go. Now I got a big voice. Okay. When Lynn started this morning, she said there's likely more people watching us online than there are here in the building. That statement took me back a lot of years to when I was a student at London School of Theology. I was sent out, like all of us were, on the weekend to go and preach in various churches. And I was sent to a church in the little village of I, that's how it's spelled. And the previous student that had been there, which had been about a year and a half before, on a little 3x5 card with information of who to contact in the church and where the location and so forth, his comment was only this: they need encouragement. It was at least a 2-hour drive because I had to go from south of London up through Cambridge and over to I. And when I got there, I was met by a little old lady. That little old lady was probably my age now, so I got to be careful, right? But when you're 23 years old, and she took me out to through the sanctuary, which looked disheveled, in this old Baptist church, into a back classroom where there were three other older ladies. And I said, oh, is this where I'm going to preach? She said, no, you're not going to preach. You're going to pray. Okay. And we prayed. And I could hear commotion out the other side of several walls away. And when we got done praying for about an hour, which is a long time when there's only a very small handful, I went out into the sanctuary with them, and the sanctuary was just loaded from wall to wall with young parents and children. The chairs, they had taken the pews out at some time before, and they'd put chairs in, which was almost a sin in England at that time. And they had arranged them around tables, and they were just kids and parents and teenagers, and they were learning what God had for them. Four old ladies had a dream for their church. Not in my notes. I wished I'd thought about it, because man, does that ever fit with what I'm trying to say to you this morning. Where I wanted to start, so now it'll be the second thing, is this. A year ago today, Julie and I worshiped in Panama City Church of the Nazarene down in Florida. 14 months before that, Hurricane Michael had a direct hit, Category 4 hurricane, direct hit on Panama City. The discipleship class we went into that morning, the teacher of that class was still living in a motorhome because their house had been destroyed. While that little church in I had a lot of kids, Panama City had virtually no kids there. And the reason there were virtually no kids there is because we drove by them over the next couple of weeks we were around. All but one elementary school in Panama City was totally destroyed. And if you were a parent with a young child, you sent your kids to relatives in some other state. What was going to be for the next 2 years before they could get schools habitable again? As the pastor stood up there a year ago this morning, he tried to give encouragement to his people, trying to tell them that after the devastation of 2019, 2020 was going to be a good year. Little did he know what was to come. But today is, we've been told, and as we've been shown, that this is not just the first of a year, but it's also Epiphany Sunday, the coming of the wise men. And what was that all about as well? As I've always thought about it, I thought about the wise men coming, that giving the gift of hope, maybe love, maybe joy, maybe peace, but more than anything else, it's hope. They had a dream. They saw visions, and they had a dream about something that was going to be different. And those wise men, they came to offer their gifts in anticipation of what? a new beginning, a new start. Something was going to happen, and it was going to be different, and that's why they came. On this first Sunday of 2021, I want you and me to look forward as much as we can, to have a dream for the new year, because 2020 wasn't such a good dream. 2020 was really, for so many people, a nightmare. It was a disaster. For a decade, I had the Reverend Dr. John Riley on staff with me, and John's favorite verse was this one that I've got up there for you. John would just quote that all the time. "For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, plans to prosper you, not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." I want to tell you something. God's plan for me first is personal. It's for me. Give me plans for hope and a future. It's personal. Also, I want to ask you this. How do you discover God's dream? Well, I'm going to play around with those five letters of dream this morning, so you'll know when I finally get to the M, that sermon's done, okay? All right? So you can plug into it. The first one is D. We dedicate all of my life to God. You've got to be willing to do this. Whatever God wants you to do, you have to do it in advance. He tells us this: offer yourselves as a living. Don't do it. Don't wait till you're dead. Not going to happen. Offer yourselves as a living sacrifice to God, dedicated to his service. Don't conform to the standards of this world, but let God transform you. Then you will be able to know the will of God, what is good and pleasant and perfect. Offer ourselves to the Lord. Dedicate yourself to the Lord. What's God's will like? Tells us right there it's good. It's pleasing, it says. It says it's perfect. I need to tell you that back years ago, I did do 3 years of New Testament Greek. I did every book in the New Testament as a set book in Greek. Do I remember it now? No! Because I don't use it. But I can tell you that I remember a few things. And one of them is this, that word in Greek, perfect. That word means it something that fits you correctly, something that is just made for you. It's like something that was just custom designed just for you. That's what God's will is. He doesn't have a general will. Yeah, he's got a general will. We all be saved. But he has a perfect plan for your life. But you need to dedicate yourself to him to see what he has for you. So how do I discover it? Well, first, the scripture says you offer, you dedicate every part. You dedicate your time, your talents, your treasures, all your relationships, past, present, and future, all of it. And if you don't do this, you're never going to discover God's dream for your life. It says, don't conform to the standards of this world. That's a problem, isn't it? I think too many times we decide we're going to just follow. We don't want to be different. We'd like to be like everybody else. We don't want to stick out. Let us strip off everything that slows us down or holds us back. Let us run with patience the particular race that God has set before us. When was the last time? I know they didn't run it this year, the Boston Marathon, but when was the last time you watched the marathon and you saw somebody trying to drag a grand piano? They don't even wear their business clothes. Let us take off everything that slows us down. God has a particular, special race for you to run. And he tells you to focus on that and jettison all of the baggage that is not necessary. So the D is dedicate. The R is reserve. Reserve time alone with God. Have you ever... Well, no, I'll change that. You have to be quiet before the Lord every now and again to hear his voice. Excuse me, let me just say this. If you want to hear God's vision, you're going to have to maybe turn off the television. You can't listen to God and The Bachelorette at the same time. The reason why God may... Thank you for that. I'll take that as an amen. I had office manager down in Lowell for 18 years. And one day, she came into me and she goes, you know, you always preach the best when it's hunting season. And then she, oh, I'm sorry, you always preach well all the rest of the time. But, you know, she was trying to cover up her tracks a little bit. But what she was saying was, she said, you know, when you're alone out there in the woods, just sitting on the side of a tree, and all you've got with you, because she knew that all I ever have with me is my pocket New Testament, well, I do have a gun too, and my sermon for the coming week is always there with me. When I'm alone and quiet with God, God speaks. And if it's quiet enough, I just might hear. Reserve time alone with God. Pascal said, most of man's problems come from his inability to sit still. I don't know what the rest of you call that area in the back that's blocked off for kids. I call it the bullpen. It's where the kids can go. I think some of us need to get back there because we put kids back there because they get the wiggles. I think some of us as adults get spiritual wiggles. And maybe we just aren't as quiet as we could be. Dedicate, reserve. Oh, let's see, I have scripture I didn't get to. I love this one where one of those who came to Job said, Job, pause for a moment and listen. Consider the wonderful things God does. God speaks to people who take time to listen. Now the E in dream is evaluate my abilities. What are you good at? My dad used to tell me at times I was good for nothing, but he was teasing. What are you good at? You see, I believe that the Lord wants to use your particular gifts, those things that suit you. Have you ever taken a spiritual gifts test? I hope you have. It will give you freedom when you do. Don't be afraid of taking it. It'll give you freedom because you'll recognize, you know something, I stink at those things, so why am I trying to do them? And I'm good at these. Lord, help me do them better. Evaluate your abilities. For we are God's handiwork, to devote ourselves to the good deeds for which God has designed us. You are made one of a kind. Evaluate those abilities and see what God can do. See, the word that's used there in the Greek is poema. And yes, that's the word you get poem from. And a poem is what? A work of art. Guess what you are? You're a work of art. That's how God sees you. Evaluate that and let's go with it. God has given each of you some special abilities. This is Peter talking now. Be sure to use them to help each other. Pardon me if I stand on your toes a little this morning. It's intentional. You know, the Bible also makes a statement that some people have struggled with through the years. It says, to those who have, more will be given. And some people find that that's feel like that's maybe unfair. But you know something? If you have it, you should be using what God has given to you. And let the Lord work with you. And see how it goes and see what's happening there. Romans 12:6. Do I have that one up there next? Yes, I do. We are to use our different gifts in accordance to the grace God gives us. Different gifts. Tony's gifts are different than mine. I will guarantee you that Pastor Dave's gifts are different than mine. We use the gifts that the Lord has given to us. I wanted to put this up and talk about it for just a minute, and I sure wish I had Kevin to stand next to me and let him just, and I'd sit down and let him talk for the next 20 minutes. I got to know Kevin 36, 38 years ago. He was a commercial photographer. He attended an Assembly of God church in Westford, Massachusetts, and we became friends. Kevin made this statement to me one day, and this is an exact quote from him: "I have a dream and God has the answer." Kevin, a commercial photographer. Through some incredible hardship and disappointment in he and his wife Kathy's life, God laid something on him that he could not get away from. And it utterly has changed his life from that day till today. He had a dream from God, and he had no idea how a photographer could pull it off. He saw young girls, the first one I knew was 14 years old, was pregnant, and her Christian parents threw her out of the house for getting pregnant. And Kevin and Kathy found a home for her through the pregnancy. That developed into a ministry, into the conversion of what had been a formerly nursing home into a care home for young girls. I have a dream and God has the answer. And I am so pleased that I was a little itty-bitty piece of the answer along with Kevin for so many years, trying to help him raise money and see girls and lives changed. Yeah, this is under evaluate your gifts, your abilities. Kevin said, "I have no ability. I'm a photographer." You know what he had an ability? He cared about people. A, associate with godly dreamers. Hang out with people who are also trying to discover God's dream for their life. Both dreams and discouragement are contagious. The people who are your closest friends are either going to help you find God's dream for your life, or they're going to prevent you from finding God's dream for your life. Who are you hanging around? I'm going to get nasty right now, or I'm going to get very real. It was 50 years ago. Next month, I think, that the Lord called me into pastoral ministry. I never had a call to preach. I had a call to pastor. There is a difference in my mind. I don't know about yours. Because I could care if I ever preach again the rest of my life. I really don't care about preaching. I care about pastoring. I care about people growing in the Lord. I care about your kids and your grandkids growing in the Lord. And this piece up here is one that just irritates the life out of me. Associate with godly dreamers. As iron sharpens iron, a friend sharpens a friend. But if they're not around people who can sharpen them, then they're going to get dull. Here's where you may say you're never coming back to preaching again here, because I believe this, and it irritates me. I've already said it, but I just get so fed up when I hear some Christian parents say, "Well, when my son gets to be 17, 16, 15, 14, I'll let him make his own decisions. If he doesn't want to come to church, doesn't want to hang around Christian friends, that's fine." You have been called to parent or to grandparent or great-grandparent. How are we encouraging How are we leading? Associate with godly dreamers. In the New Testament, we read this one: bad friends ruin the noblest people. I better get away from this one, or you're going to start throwing tomatoes at me. Or worse, maybe a Bible. Last one I want to give you is this one: make my dream public. Make my dream public. Why would I want to announce to everybody else what God's telling me to do? Well, I think it demonstrates faith. If you, and I'm not saying just go out and dream something up. I'm saying, what does God want from you? And try to find out, what is God's plan for your life? You see, it's a goal. And a goal is a statement of faith. We've got to stand and say, Lord, what do you want me to do? If I were to say to you, Martin Luther King Jr., what did he have to say? Yeah, it's the first thing that comes to your mind. If you've never listened or haven't listened in a long, long time to that actual speech, his I Have a Dream speech, listen to it on YouTube sometime. It's short. It's really not very long. It's probably one of the most powerful pieces of rhetoric I've ever listened to in my life. I stand before you today and just state with great confidence and assurance that dreams can become reality. Because if we allow them to be, they can be inspired by God. There are three effects of publicly stating your dream. The first one is this: it gets you started. Okay, I've said it. Now what am I going to do with it? The second one is this: it attracts other people's support. If I go back to my friend Kevin, when he first said that this is what I believe the Lord wants me to do. Yep, he said it, and then it attracted some support. And some people said it can't happen as well. But I also believe that it's of the Lord, it releases God's power. It really can release God's power, and things can change. What is faith? It is the confident assurance that something we want is going to happen. It is the certainty that what we hope for is waiting for us, even though we cannot see it up ahead. What is faith? It starts with a dream. And as I said, I'm not saying just think anything up. Don't just say, well, by next Sunday I'll have it. No. Spend some time in Scripture, in prayer, with other trusted Christian friends, and see what God has. It doesn't cost you a penny to dream, but it might cost you everything once you state it. This verse grabbed me a couple of dozen years ago. I'd like to think that maybe somebody might say they might take David out of there and put John. John served God's purposes for his generation, and then he died. Put your name in it. Living God's dream, doing what the Lord wants you to do. And then in Acts, we read this: I reckon my own life worth nothing to me in order that I may complete the dream and finish the dream that the Lord Jesus gave me to do. Father, I thank you this morning that we can be together in this place, that we can start another year. Lord, we have no clue at all what might be happening in the coming year. As I have reflected back this week so many times, thinking about last January 1st Sunday, and as that pastor stood there, and just so full of hope, so full of expectation, after a terrible year in Panama City, and now to have to face this. Lord, I don't know what the future holds, but as the song says, I know who holds the future. And I'm thankful, Lord, that you do. And that, Lord, I can sing that old chorus of used to sing as a teenager. Are we downhearted? No, no, no. We'll trust in Jesus. Lord, we will trust. We will trust and we will move forward. I pray, Lord, for our pastors here at this church, that you will help them and guide them and give them strength and wisdom, that, Lord, as we move into 2021, that they will lead us into paths of righteousness, into paths, Lord, that you have already prepared for us. I pray, Lord, for every Sunday school teacher, for those who work with the children, for those, Lord, who minister in whatever ways you allow them to minister, that, Lord, as we move into 2021, that we might have a dream, a vision, a mission, a ministry that comes from you, and we fulfill it because we're walking with you. Lord, I ask now your blessing on us each in your holy name. Amen.